It's hashtag Dear Vendor, and we want to hear from you. Give your thoughts as higher eds, and maybe all your dreams will come true. Here's Scott Tyner.
Hello and welcome to Dear Vendor, a podcast dedicated to giving AV professionals that work in higher education an opportunity to be heard by those who provide us our tools, the manufacturers, integrators, and software vendors of the AV industry. Today, we welcome Aaron Marmoran from Johns Hopkins University. Aaron, that is about all the talking I'm going to do because we really want to hear from you. Let's start by having you tell us about you, where you work, and your school.
Okay. Aaron Marmoran, obviously. I'm the multimedia services manager at Johns Hopkins University, the Homewood campus in Baltimore, Maryland. The whole school is about 27,000, but on the Homewood campus, we have about 6,000 undergraduates, and there are also some graduate courses that do happen there, but it's mostly an undergraduate campus. We support about 90 plus general pool classrooms and many more departmental spaces, conference rooms, and event spaces. My team is 8 full-time staff members strong, including myself. Johns Hopkins University is a private university. It has 9 schools, 2 of which, the Krieger School of Arts and Sciences and the Whiting School of Engineering, make up the majority of the courses on the Homewood campus. The School of Education, the Carey School of Business, and the Peabody Conservatory also hosts classes there.
Okay, and you say you're on the Homewood campus, which indicates that there's another campus?
There are 4 campuses in the major Baltimore kind of metro area. And then there's a DC campus, and there's also 2 or 3 international campuses in, I believe, Bologna, Italy, and I want to say Nanjing, China. So yeah, excellent. Johns Hopkins is everywhere.
And do you ever get a chance to visit those other campuses?
Unfortunately, I have never had the opportunity, at least the international ones. I have been to a couple of the smaller local campuses, but not nearly as interesting as going to Italy or China would be.
I hear you. You've got to find a way to get out there.
Absolutely.
So now we're interested to hear kind of a little bit more about your specific role. And one of the questions we like to know about is, do you use outside integrators, or are you an in-house integrator?
We kind of have a hybrid approach. So for a larger scale installation, we'll end up doing our own design and then pass that along to integrators for, quote and potential installation. Since we have certain standards we'd like to stick to, and we know what we want. So it kind of just makes it easier to have one of our in-house designers actually design it. Since we do have a relatively small team, and we do so many other, we do event support as well as classroom support. So when we know we have a large class load or event load, we end up having to, go outside for help. But for the smaller, medium-sized spaces, if we have the resources and the time to devote to it, we'll design and install and do the code and everything ourselves. But if we know that we're going to have a difficult or a time-consuming cable run, that will go to an outside group to do also, because it can be a lot for us to have to spend all those hours pulling cable if we've got all these other things hanging over our heads.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. One of the things that I've heard or started to learn from various people is about doing the installations in-house versus hiring somebody. And wiring is one of those things that, for example, my school does most installations in-house, but outsources all of the wiring and cable runs.
Absolutely. It just makes sense.
So what are you putting most of your time into these days?
Currently we're kind of just making sure that most of our rooms are ready for video conferencing in some way, shape, or form. At this moment, we had rooms prepared for that were above a certain capacity. So now we need to go through all of the smaller rooms and make sure that they're going to be ready for fall. And also need to go through all of the rooms that have sat unused and thoroughly test them and make sure that any upgrades are, you know, if they're necessary.
So as a quick follow-up, that sounds like most of your students are not on campus right now?
Correct. We were able to hire some grad students during this time. No, we were not able to use any undergraduates except for remote work. So, we could have a couple on just to answer some phone calls here and there, but none that can actually really do any of the hands-on work. So we've been pretty much dependent on a rotating schedule of staff coming on campus and taking care of things.
Okay. And it sounds like then that you are in, another situation that I've heard from others of, we had a lot of our larger classrooms equipped and ready to go for this because people did it already, but most of our smaller classrooms didn't have video and audio recording. And that's something that you're really looking into at this point.
Absolutely.
So this may be a similar answer, but I'm curious to know, what are your biggest challenges that you foresee in the next 6 months to a year?
I think our biggest challenge is going to be training all the faculty that haven't been teaching on campus in over a year. Also keeping up with all the different ways the instructors are going to want to teach. We can prepare all we want and provide all the options that we think of, but there will always be that instructor that'll want something that just hadn't been communicated to us in a timely manner. So we'll scramble and we'll try to make it happen, since we want the students and the instructors to have the best experience possible. But, you know, there's only so much we can do with, you know, whatever time we end up actually getting, and budgetary wise too.
Yeah, tough budget times for lots of schools. So either what you're thinking about today or what you think will be some of your biggest challenges going forward, are there ways that integrators, manufacturers, software vendors could help you?
The one thing that my team finds the most helpful from integrators or manufacturers is giving us access to product roadmaps or timelines. It makes it so much easier for us to plan projects when we can see what's available and what's new and what's on the horizon. It's not great when we order a large quantity of a product only to find out something better is about to drop in like a week. It's awful when we have a product that we really love and then we found out it was discontinued before we even had a chance to, you know, like stock up and hoard all of them. But we also really appreciate getting demo products and the availability of webinars and training when possible.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talked about that piece at the beginning of availability of products, because we've been through situations as well where we order a 10 of something, 20 of something, and you call back a week later and they say, oh no, that's discontinued. And which is interesting, because that frustrates you. But also the other thing that frustrates you is, like you said, when you really love a product and you think, oh, if you had told me it was being discontinued, I would have gone and bought 40 of them.
Absolutely.
So it's both sides of the coin there. But it, so it sounds to me like you're saying communication is really big. Education is really big. Those are some things that you can, would be really beneficial.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So one of the things I always like to end these on is to, I believe that we all learn best by positive feedback and examples and experiences. Do you have any stories or examples where a vendor of any sort has really done something fantastic that has had a lasting impact on the work you do?
Well, I have to say that my team really appreciates the what I call concierge style of service that we get from our rep, Bill Hotman at HCGI in Harford County, Maryland. He's so responsive to whenever we need help. He checks in on us even when, you know, to see if we need any help with anything, even if we don't currently have a project with them. And he's not a, you know, pushy sales guy. He doesn't, we always know that there's not a motive when he's stopping in to say, hey, he genuinely wants to help. He's not like, oh, and while I'm here, do you have any projects coming up or what's, I mean, obviously he's, you know, wants our business and wants, you know, if there is something on the horizon, he wants to be part of it, but he doesn't come off as like, want that. That's the only reason why he is there. And you know, if we need anything quickly, he helps expedite the process for us, assists us when we need to ship back items that we need returned, or, you know, he's always letting us know when new pricing is coming up for different manufacturers or when new tech's coming out and, you know, that line is in line with our standards. And he helps us get, you know, demo products when available or possible. And it's really helpful to have that kind of close relationship that we know, you know, he's doing right by us basically.
Well, that's fantastic. And if Bob, was that his name?
Bill.
So I think Bill, hopefully his company hears this and they can retweet it and put it on social media, because clearly Bill is doing something that you consider valuable and that is really helping your school and helping your school move forward. And we know that not all salespeople do that. They're interested in today's sale and call me back when you have some other money to spend. And Absolutely. What I'm hearing from you is this is a true partnership.
Absolutely.
Great. I didn't give you this question in advance. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with anybody who's listening?
Let's see. I just have to say that I do really appreciate this opportunity to, you know, share things with, you know, vendors or manufacturers, because I think that sometimes we feel like we're just in higher ed, we're not really heard. And I know that probably they're like, oh, but we are listening and we want to hear these things, but maybe we don't necessarily have the means to, you know, or the direct line to the right ears. So this is great to be able to, you know, have some sort of way to get our voices out there.
Well, fantastic. I value this, because I also think that we all owe something to the industry, and we all owe in keeping this industry alive and moving and healthy in a pandemic or out of a pandemic. And so hopefully for the people that are listening, this provides them some value as well as gives us that opportunity.
Absolutely. So, oh, and I also want to say, companies should not, and integrators specifically, should not be afraid of end users that do want to do their own integration and whatnot, because we're not trying to take business away from them necessarily, but we're trying to be more of a partnership as opposed to a just pure end user.
I think that
makes sense.
it makes a ton of sense. And I think it's really important that integrators hear that and understand that, because it is a change in the business model. And it's not what was going on 20 years ago, or even some cases 10 years ago. So the business is changing, but we still need each other, and finding out how we support each other is really what's important. And I agree with you. We're not trying to put anybody out of business. We need our local integrator in business. It just makes better business sense for us to do some of that ourselves.
Yes. Plus it's nice that, you know, we're kind of picky. We know what we like. We do it the way we want it done. And it's hard to express that through, we can document everything and it's still not going to be that exact way.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. Well, Erin, thank you for joining us today. Have a great end of the day.
Awesome. Thank you. You too.
It's hashtag Dear Vendor, and we want to hear from you. Give your thoughts as higher ed, so maybe all your dreams will